with a strike two pitch to Joe. Fastball swung on and missed, strike three. He is one out away from the promised land. And Harvey Keene is coming up. Keene is batting for Bob Henley. The time on the scoreboard is 9:44. The date, September the 9th, 1965. And Koufax working on veteran Harvey Keene. Sandy into his windup, and the pitch, a fastball for a strike. He has struck out, by the way, five consecutive batters. And that's gone unnoticed. Sandy ready in the strike one pitch. Very high, and he lost his hat. He really forced that one. That's only the second time tonight where I have had the feeling that Sandy threw instead of pitched, trying to get that little extra. And that time he tried so hard, his hat fell off. He took an extremely long stride to the plate, and Torborg had to go up to get it. One and one to Harvey Keene. Now he's ready. Fastball high, ball two. You can't blame a man for pushing just a little bit now. Sandy backs off, mops his forehead, runs his left index finger along his forehead, dries it off on his left pants leg. All the while, Keene just waiting. Now Sandy looks in. Into his windup, and the 2-1 pitch to Keene. Swung on and missed, strike two. It is 9:46 p.m. 2-2 to Harvey Keene. One strike away. Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed, the perfect game. Field. It is 9:46 p.m. in the city of the Angels, Los Angeles, California, and a crowd of 29,139 just sitting in to see the only pitcher in baseball history to hurl four no-hit, no-run games. He has done it four straight years, and now he capped it on his fourth no-hitter. He made it a perfect game. And Sandy Koufax, whose name will always remind you of strikeouts, did it with a flourish. He struck out the last six consecutive batters. So when he wrote his name in capital letters in the record books, that K stands out even more than the O-U-F-A-X.
Leagues the major leagues. Well, there's never been better poetry in motion on the air than this call. And in 1995, we asked Vin Scully to find out why he called the time in that broadcast, why he called the time every minute as the perfect game reached its climax.
Every time I do a game that's a potential no-hitter, when it comes to the ninth inning, the engineer in the studio automatically records the ninth inning. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's a Dodger or not, because if it's the opposition, we give him the tape. So he has it for the rest of his life. Dennis Martinez, for instance, he has the tape of his ninth inning when he pitched the perfect game against the Dodgers. Anyway, Sandy Koufax had already pitched three no-hitters. And when I do the tape of a guy who's pitching a no-hitter, for his benefit only, I always put the date on the tape. So that 30 years from now, when he's playing it for his grandchildren, he will hear that on July so-and-so, 19th. So I do that as a matter of course. Well, now I've done that three times for Sandy Koufax. So as we were coming to the ninth inning, I wasn't so wrapped up in the perfect game and all of that drama as I was thinking, what could I do to make this a little extra special in case Sandy does it? And for some reason, I will never know why, because it means nothing to a baseball game, I started to give the time. And so as he walked out to the mound, I'm saying, and so at 9:48 p.m. on this 1965 at Dodger Stadium, Sandy Koufax, and then as each out was recorded, I would give the time, only thinking that this will be fun for Sandy to have 30 years from now, 40 years from now. Well, when the game ended, the next day, the one thing everybody talked about was how dramatic it was that I was giving the time, thinking I had this great sense of theater, when all the while, all I was trying to do was give Sandy a little something extra for the tape.
Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bucky Harris, the Yanks manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
I'm their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
That's what I want to find
out. I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the
That's
money.
That's it.
Who gets the money on
he
first?
He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to
who?
The contract? The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his
That's
name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Well, don't change the players.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Oh, he's on third. We're not talking about him. Now, let's begin.
How did I get on third base?
Why, you mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again. Will you stay on third base
right.
And don't go off it?
All right, I don't want to know.
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
What is on second?
You don't want who on second?
Who is on first?
I don't know. Third base! Outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not. Stay out of the infield. I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on
who's
second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
He is center field. Look, you got a pitcher on the team.
Sure.
The pitcher's name.
Tamara.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you,
then
man.
Go ahead.
Tamara.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you're going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Got a catcher?
Certainly.
The catcher's name.
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitcher.
Now you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the team. You know, I'm a catcher, too.
So they tell me.
I get behind the plate, do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Now, the heavy hitter bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Just to throw the ball at first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it. Now, who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No, you don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's different.
That's what I say.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
Listen, you ask me.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's
same
it.
As you.
Don't change him around.
Same as you.
Go ahead, now get it over.
I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs a second.
Yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it? I don't know. I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I'm an idiot. Come on.
Ray, the one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win.
Now the 2-1,
line drive to the just as the score of the tying run, Green to the plate, and he is safe at the plate, the Braves go to the World Series.
Have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baseline and sat when they were children and cheered their heroes.
Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field. This is going to be a home run. Unbelievable!
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead by a score of 3-2.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mazeroski has hit a 1-0 pitch over the left field fence at Ford Field to win the 1960 World Series.
They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past.
The Pope arrived at Yankee Stadium. As one enthusiastic announcer put it, he is standing on second base.
Reggie Jackson. Long drive right field. It is goodbye. Big, big World Series for Reggie.
The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a three-run home run.
Back to throw.
So thick, you'll have to brush them away from their faces.
The 1-0 delivery to Fisk. He swings, long drive, left field. If it stays there, it's gone. Home run! The Red Sox win. And the series...
Lonis fires, ball is hit high in the air. This should be the series. Freehand waving everybody away in foul territory. Detroit wins.
Here's the pitch to Willie.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Candlestick Park for Game 3 of the 1989 World Series.
It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again.
Frank Robinson, the right-hand batter.
Long drive to left field. Way back, way back. Yes, it's been back. Home run.
Base hit loaded, one out. Pena in a jam. The Twins are going to win the World Series. The Twins have won it.
Ozzie with one out. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run. And the
cut. What he made just brought this crowd to its feet with a catch, which must have been an optical illusion to a lot of people.
This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and it could be again.
From Ford Field, the Greenville Drive are on the air.
And Dearden swings and he hits it high. And deep. Right field. Gone. Grand slam home run for Tyler Dearden.
Baseball is back in Greenville, and the high Class A affiliate of the Boston Red Sox can be heard here all season long. Greenville Drive Baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Drive, Dan Scott, and manager Iggy Suarez.
Game 3 of the series between the Drive and Asheville. Tonight we get our first look at Luis Perales for the Drive since being called up from Salem. Iggy Suarez, nice job last night, and I think the story of the game, we'll talk about the offense in a minute, but pitching across the board, Blaylock was good until he hit the pitch count, and then your bullpen, I think it was 3 2/3 innings, one hit, shutout baseball.
Yeah, it's always good to have the bullpen come in and shut the offense down like that, especially, you know, put up zeros is huge for us, especially in the, you know, the night before we kind of had that rough inning late in the game, and, you know, it goes to show, like, our bullpen and the guys that are there getting ready have that short-term memory, and that's always good to for them to do that for us.
A lot of times when pitchers come up, like with Perales, you may have just seen him for an inning or two in spring training. You've seen Blaylock now for more than a handful of starts. He's been really good. What has made him succeed at this level?
You know, I think it's just being able to have that comfort level to kind of let him know and let himself know that he's able to perform and compete at this level. I think, you know, when the first time they get into high A, or, you know, especially him coming off an injury too, like to be able to prove to himself that he's healthy and to be able to pitch and not having him even think about that. And so it's, again, I think it's probably in the back of his mind, it's back of our minds too. We're trying to protect him, and we know it's his first season back. But to see him perform like that and to be able to go five going into the sixth inning, it's something huge. It's something that's good for him. It's confidence building for him. And again, that goes to show the work that he's put in. You know, we always tell those guys, like, you're making a decision. Believe it or not, you know, we're using eyes to kind of see, but it's good to see that.
Does he understand that his pitch count probably is going to be a little lower than the other starters because he's coming off Tommy John?
Yeah, of course. You know, we'd make it a point to have them know that. You know, we want them to be in conversation and in the know. You know, I think that's what, you know, they deserve that. He deserves that. You know, I think with the time that he's put in to get back, you know, the rehab, that's a long time, a long year to be doing a lot of exercise and all the rehab, and finally to go out on the mound, you know, to have him have a peace of mind and know what he has in the tank and what we're allowing him to do and what the organization is allowing him to do, I think isn't allowing him to perform the way he is right now.
23 runners left on base in the first two games, and yet somehow you're still tied 1-1 in the series. It's a lot of guys left out there.
Yeah, it's a lot of traffic out there that we managed to leave on there.
But still got enough hits last night. And interesting how the game works. Two nights ago, they had the big seventh inning. Last night, it was your turn.
No, for sure. I think that's, again, I think that was one of the payback for what they did to us. But again, I think, it's just the confidence of our lineup. You know, passing the baton, I think we're getting back to our normal selves when we're doing that, you know, not trying to do too much and, you know, have our teammates pick us up. And I think, you know, once you start stringing together good at-bats, all it takes is just one swing of the bat to get the ball rolling for us. And that's what usually happens. When that dugout gets going crazy and good energy going in, it's hard to stop us.
You know, one of the things that we have found out since Tom and I started doing this 5 years ago is you're going to see different players in different positions, guys moving around. So what do you think when you see Tyler Miller, who's not an outfielder by trade, making the plays that he made in left field yesterday?
You know what? It's good to see. It's refreshing to know that you don't have to worry if he's going to have a good jump or he's going to play hard. He's going to be playing hard. He's going to be diving all over the place. I mean, he's always somehow, every time you see him, he's always either diving in the dirt or diving in the grass. It's like ball hitting his direction. We're like, is he going to stay on his feet this time or not? And, you know, we're glad he didn't out in the outfield. And to cover the ground that he did, and, you know, it goes to show he's a baseball player. You know, that's what you want to have guys on the team that can do that and not be phased of what position they're going to play and they're going to feel comfortable. And they're going to give you 100%. And he does that all the time. And to have those two plays like that for us on left was huge.
How comfortable do you expect Lopey to be at first base?
You know what? To see his face, I wish I would have had a camera to take a picture of the look on his face. And I told him too, a couple of guys, like, hey, just be prepared. Don't be surprised when you see a lineup pretty soon. And he saw it, and it was kind of like, he was not lying. Yeah. You know, he felt comfortable taking ground balls. He looked comfortable. Again, I could see the nerves with it being his first game out there. And I told him, I was like, wait, we'll be there. We'll be with you every step of the way. Whatever you need, we'll be helping you out. But you know, we're confident enough to have him out there, so we have his back for sure.
Before we started recording, we were talking about Luis Perales making his the high A debut tonight, and Tom and I were asking you, go back into the deep recesses of your mind, pull out all the black and white film you have back there. What do you remember about your first professional baseball game?
Oh, man. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's a lot of nerves, a lot of nerves. I'm always a nervous player every time we start a game. It's almost like, let's get the first at-bat out of the way, let's get the first ground ball out of the way, something. But it was just something different, just about that, having that first professional game, because it's like, you can really, for me, it was almost, I had to try to step back as much as I can to be able to say, like, man, I am a professional baseball player now. That was something that I've always wanted to say growing up, and now I finally get to say it. You know, and I'll tell you, like, I couldn't shake the nerves throughout that whole game. Like, it was very nerve-wracking. It was exciting. I think that was just more annoying that how long I could play this game. And it was, I'll tell you what, it's a good feeling. It's a good thing. I mean, I got a double. That's one thing I remember, so that's, I'm going to remember that. But it was definitely fun, definitely a day I'll not forget.
How long did it take you to get over the nerves?
I mean, I still haven't gotten over the nerves. I get the nerves even managing, so they're still there. Let me know I still have it.
All right, Iggy, thanks.
Thanks.
It's Iggy Suarez. Stay tuned. Lineups, first pitch next on Greenville Drive Baseball.
They just ended it, yeah. It feels good having someone on your side to care for, be there for life's twists and turns that it has in store. 'Cause it's the little moments where we show how much we care, and with so much to protect each day, Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Everyone deserves a great smile, and Smile Doctors Orthodontics is here to help you, Greenville Drive fans. Smile Doctors accepts most insurance, and whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, anyone can get the smile they've always wanted with our flexible payment options. With some of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the upstate area, we love to see Drive fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit SmileDoctors.com today and book your free consult. That's SmileDoctors.com for Smile Doctors Orthodontics, official smile provider of the Greenville Drive. Well, we'd like to tell you it's a beautiful day for baseball here in the upstate of South Carolina. We'd love to tell you that we are getting ready to throw the first pitch tonight for Game 3 of the Drive and the Asheville Tourist. And we'd really like to tell you we have full confidence we're going to play 9 innings tonight. Unfortunately, we can't tell you any of those things. Welcome to Fluor Field. I'm Dan Scott. That is Tom Van Hoy. We are in a weather delay, and things ain't looking good on the old weather radar there, Tom.
Yeah, as you take a look at it, it really doesn't look good. And these the folks here, Greg Burgess and company and Eric Jarenko, they're as good as it gets in trying to determine whether or not you can play the game. And again, the field is excellent, and we've been here before when it's rained a lot, and you can get it ready to go. But right now, anyway, it doesn't look like we're going to get it started. If we do get it started, it's not going to be anytime soon.
Yeah, in order to get it ready to go, it has to stop raining. And we are told that the hour-by-hour forecast in the radar right now does not look good. They are already considering options. A decision won't be made, we're told, until sometime around 7:30. So we'll stay with you for a few minutes, go into let you listen to the sounds of the ballpark thing like we normally do, and then come back at 7:30 or give you an update beforehand. If we get to play, or when we get to play, Tom, we get to see Luis Perales for the first time on the mound.
Yeah, young guy. I mean, you know, you're going to be nervous anyway, but your preparation, you're on a routine, and to have the delay go on has got to be pretty difficult for him. But highly regarded prospect in the Boston Red Sox organization. He's the number 12 prospect by MLB Pipeline, and Sox Prospects has him at number 7. It's a right-hander, 6'1", 160, 20 years of age, turned 20 in April, out of Venezuela. signed July of 2019, international minor league free agent contract. And like many of the players, he was a young guy, 16 years of age when he signed at Salem. 4-4, the ERA at 3.21 and 13 starts there. Had 71 strikeouts in 53 and a third innings. Allowed a couple of home runs. The opposition hit only 197. So his last two in July were 10 innings, no runs, three hits, 16 K, six walks, and the opposition 094. Time to move up to the next level. Looking forward to seeing him pitch. When that does happen, you'll get into a piggyback situation for Asheville. The way they do it is they rotate their starters. They've got 10, and they'll start one game, and the next one they'll come in relief. So first couple games didn't take that approach. It was very effective in game one, a 6-4 win for Asheville, and kind of flipped things around. And you talk with Iggy Suarez there, able to get the three runs in the seventh inning in game one was Asheville, and the drive turned around. Did the same thing last night, widened out a bit on the way to a 7-2 win.
Now, one of the reasons that Luis Perales is here is because before the break, Isaac Coffey, Hunter Dobbins got promoted. That's why Bradley Blaylock is here, who pitched well last night. I mentioned that because Isaac Coffey today at Portland threw 5 shutout innings in his start for the AA Sea Dogs. He has been excellent since getting promoted.
He really has, and you know, it's great to see the young man that to go from here and go up and have success. Sometimes it's not always immediate, but you know, Coffey was good when he was here. Hunter Dobbins was good, and we kind of talked about that. The drive first home series of the year was with this Asheville team, and split that series 3-3. Drive won the first two, Asheville won the next three, and the drive won on Sunday. But the rosters are a lot different now. Asheville has got 13 different players, and they still need to add. They've got a couple of guys that went on the injured reserve yesterday, and the drive have 11 different players than they did back in April. And that's what you expect and what we have seen every year. Given the circumstances, you move players up, and injury situation, Max Ferguson got to go up 5 games up at Worcester, and you know, you take advantage of those situations if you can.
Broadcasters stay put, though.
Always stay put. We're not going anywhere.
We don't get to move up. So we're in a holding pattern right now, and really don't have any other information than what we told you a moment ago. They are currently exploring all options. Before we go to a break, though, 54 years ago today, man landed on the moon.
Yes.
July 20th of 1969. 22 years prior to that, my mother was born.
Wow.
So happy birthday to my mom, Barbara Scott. And going to do this during some actual game time play today. We can't do that because we're not playing at the moment due to weather. But I love you and hope that you've had a great day. We'll take a break. We will come back. No later than 7:30 to give you an update. If we find out something before then, we'll break in. But right now, we'll leave you with Sounds of the Ballpark. Well, on the off chance that some of you are still hanging in, welcome back. And we're here just basically long enough to say goodbye. They just made the official announcement that tonight's game has been postponed. It will be made up as part of a doubleheader tomorrow, a pair of seven-inning games starting at 5 p.m. here at Fluor Field. So, Tom, for those in the Greenville area, get off work.
Yeah, Friday.
Come see some baseball.
Doubleheader. We're going to have some pretty good matchup. At least Perales will get the start for the drive. That'll be his first after coming up from Salem. And Valente Beoso, a right-hander, set to go in game one. He's 2-3 with an ERA of 7.38. That'll be kind of a piggyback situation. He'll probably go four innings or so and then bring another pitcher in. And then if it holds to form like it should or could, Andre Bastardo is expected to start that second game, and he's coming off just an outstanding performance his last time out. Picked up his first win, and he went six innings, no runs, two hits at Hickory. And he'll go against the number 10 prospect in the Houston organization, MLB Pipeline, and Miguel Ulloa. Ulloa, 6'1", 205, 21, out of the Dominican Republic. So, and with Perales, he's the number 12 player in the Boston Red Sox organization, MLB Pipeline. So it should be a good day at the ballpark. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. We'll be able to get two in tomorrow, two seven-inning games, but first at 5 and no earlier than 7:30.
Right, so or no earlier than 7:05.
7:05,
yeah.
Okay.
So we will take our leave this evening and be back with you tomorrow. We'll start on the free audio link with the little fun montage of stuff at 4:30. Iggy Suarez pregame on MILB TV at 4:50, and then 5 o'clock is our start time. We look forward to having you there then. Officially postponed tonight, we will see you for a pair of seven-inning games and a double dip here at Fluor Field tomorrow. Until then, for Tom and everybody else with The Drive, I'm Dan Scott saying God bless you and so long, everybody.